Hi, I'm Emma Dancy, and welcome to Her Many Hats podcast, where we explore how women wear many hats while serving one God. Whatever role you are fulfilling, the Lord is using you in incredible ways. Let's take some time to seek the scriptures and learn how we can best honor Christ with the hats that we wear. Hey friends, welcome back to Her Many Hats podcast, where we are exploring the hat of friendship in this current series. Today, I am overly excited to have my friend Delise Germond with us. Hi, Delise.
Hi, Emma. Thanks for having me on today.
We're so happy to have you on the show, and I'm excited. Delise is a content creator. She is an amazing wife, mother to sweet baby Elliot, and she also is getting ready to start a mini farm with her husband. So tell us a little more about that. What is a mini farm?
So a mini farm is basically just a farm that's under 100 or 200 acres, because farms tend to be extremely large. Don't hold me to that definition, but I'm just saying our farm is only 11 and a half acres. So technically, and if you hear my baby in the background, he is here saying hi.
Hi, but, Elliot.
Say hi, buddy. But technically, an 11 and a half mini farm is considered miniature, even though to me, that's a little bit big.
Wow. What are your animals that you're going to have?
So we are planning to actually plant trees and have a crop with that. I have a pig right now who's also a mini pig, and most people would not consider him to be mini, but he is about 100 pounds. And then we're planning to get some chickens, because with all that land, it just makes sense to me to have chickens. But besides that, it's going to be mostly plants.
I'm personally excited just because Delise has been a friend of mine for, I think, almost 10 years now. Yeah, it's gone by really fast. We've been through a lot of different seasons together. And I just think, Delise, you have just such an intentionality with your friendships that I wanted to just pick your brain today and hear from you and just talk about what does it look like to be that model to others in their friendships. And we can model healthy friendships through the help of Christ and Him alone. And so how have you experienced first just Christ as your friend, and how has that kind of flooded into your sisterhood around you?
Man, I love that question, Emma. So when I think about Christ being my friend, I actually go back to the year after I graduated from high school. I went on a missions trip to Mexico. We were in Matamoros, Mexico. My first time going on a missions trip without anybody that I actually knew beforehand.
Wow.
And yeah, it was crazy. Looking back, I am kind of shocked that my parents even let me go. But I was trying to get friends to go with me. And I remember in the process of fundraising and setting up for the trip, the Lord just kind of spoke to my heart. And I really felt like He was telling me He just wanted me to go with Him. And so I'm on this missions trip with just me and Jesus and all these people that were new friends to me. And I spent a lot of time, honestly, just in prayer and just hanging out with God, which was something that I hadn't done in my walk yet. So just doing life with Him, or just saying whatever came to my mind, or sitting out and just pouring my heart out to Him. And it was a really sweet season, but I think it showed me a different level of the friendship that I could have in Christ. It's not just a time that you schedule in the morning or in the afternoon, but it's such a daily doing life together kind of friendship, if you will. And I know that's kind of a Christianese phrase, but until you asked me that question, I hadn't really thought of the fact that that experience and the way that I interact with God is very much what I try to mirror in my friendships, just entering into life together with them in the way that He does with me.
That's really good. As a new mom, I was just thinking about this. How have you felt like the new challenges of having friendship, you know, when you're so busy and so probably tired and just trying to, you know, learn this new season of your life? And has there been anything that's helped you or that you feel like could be encouraging to you or someone else in that season?
Well, I would definitely say having grace is the first thing. Mm-hmm. I am not the first of my friends who have had children. I've been on the side of being the one without the kids and seeing my friends navigate motherhood and just knowing what it's like to have grace for them and to know, you know, our friendship is going to look different. But they're still here for me. They're still my friend. I don't need to block them out. I need to actually stay present and really make the most of the moments that we have. Mm-hmm. And then now on the other side, being a mother, same thing. I mean, capitalizing on the moments that I do have. I mean, you and I right now are having this podcast and I'm burping my baby, you know, but this is the moment I have. And instead of acting like it's not a good time and I can't do it, just allowing the Lord to use the bit that I have, because again, I want friendships that are real and authentic. And that means that you're going to be with me in the messy. And that also means that I don't need to pretend like my life is perfect or like my life isn't changing. I need to invite you into that and allow you to be here for me in these moments. So I think just allowing your friends to have grace for you and being gracious with yourself is a huge deal.
Well, good day to you. It's Joel with For King Country dropping in to let you know that our brand new film, Unsung Hero, is in theaters now.
It's Luke here. We've teamed up with the creators of Jesus Revolution to bring you this adventure of a lifetime. It's a powerful, true story about a family uniting, growing in their faith, and facing the impossible together.
In theaters now, unsunghero.movie for more information.
Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested.
What impacts you every day? There is one book that influences almost every aspect of our lives. Museum of the Bible reveals the Bible's impact on your favorite musicians and artists, the way we measure time, social justice, our national monuments, and more. The Bible's impact is all around you. Discover how at museumofthebible.org/impact.
I think back to when we met, and something about Delise that just drew me to her was just this authentic joy. And when you see someone like that, you just can't help but want to be their friend. And I remember thinking, I can't believe this girl wants to be friends with me. Like, she's so cool. And I met you. I think we met in class. It was just really sweet to see the Lord develop our friendship. And we've even gotten to do ministry together and work together and have different relationships. What would you say, as I think about like what we've been going through so far in friendship, one of the main focuses has been reaching out and creating that initiation of a relationship, because friendships don't just come out of thin air. So what would you say are some practical ways or some ways you found are helpful, either being in a new town or at college or wherever that may be, of either not getting stagnant with just friendships that you have, or reaching out to new people?
Yeah. I would say the first thing is kind of more of a mindset. So just reminding yourself that everybody wants to have friends. It's easy for us to feel like, oh, I'm being needy if I reach out to someone, either someone new or someone you already know. But those people are waiting for somebody to reach out to them, just like you're waiting for somebody to reach out to you. So kind of reminding yourself that we're all in the same boat, and they're not going to think that you're weird if you reach out to them, if you don't know them yet. I've literally met some of my friends randomly by walking into a study room and being like, hey, you know, can I hang out with you? And as strange as that might have felt, I mean, some of my richest friendships literally have come from those instances. So I would say if you feel drawn to somebody, don't be afraid to just talk to them. But also for friends that you might feel the friendship is stagnant, doing things together. The same thing really applies in a marriage or like a romantic relationship, but doing things together will keep things fresh. So try arranging flowers together, going to a new place together. Those experiences that you can have will continue to build your friendship, and you'll have a lot of shared memories that you can refer to. And really, you get to know people more than just sitting face to face and talking. You get to know them when you are doing life with them. So mm-hmm. the more you guys can get out there and do things together, the better.
Yeah, I love that. And I think too, touching on that, like, it kind of goes into love languages. A lot of times people think about that with a romantic relationship, but how learning our friends' love languages is a really unique way in which we can love them. So whether that be quality time or service or gifts, you know, whatever it may mm-hmm. be, we can learn our friends better and learn how we can love them more effectively in that way. So that's really cool. One thing that we have also been discussing is how Jesus reached out to variety and how sometimes we can be drawn towards maybe friends who are just like us. But what would be some advice you could have in maybe touching on diverse friendships? So whether that be reaching out to someone who maybe is older than you or who is it in a different tax bracket or has a different skin color? What would be your advice in broadening your friendships and how you can meet people who are different than you and not stay kind of just only in your corner?
Mm-hmm. Well, I would definitely say physical demographics have a lot to do with your friendships. Mm-hmm. And whether that means, you know, you always go to the same stores or if it means you always go to the same parks or you stay in the same area, where you are is where your people are. So if you're trying to find people and you are in a situation where you feel, oh, I just don't know anyone diverse, there's just nobody different than me around me, maybe you need to change where you are.
Yeah.
So I would definitely say changing where you are and just broadening your horizons is a great place to start for finding diverse friends. But as far as like nurturing those friendships and keeping a diverse friend base is concerned, I would say just remember that we're different, but we're all the same. It's so easy to come to a friendship. Maybe if you're becoming friends with somebody who has a lower socioeconomic status than you and think that you're going to give them something, it's kind of that mentality when you go on a missions trip and you think you're there to give them something. Well, yes, you're there to serve, but can you realize that they can teach you so much more than you're probably going to teach them in the time that you're on that missions trip, right? The same goes for learning and meeting people who are different than you. They have so much to teach us. That's the beauty of the variety that God has put in people. And so really coming to them, if you're younger, as a student, coming to them, if you're just different as a person who just wants to see life through their eyes, is a much better perspective than maybe some of the others that we could hold.
Yes, we really have talked about Jonathan and David and how Jonathan, you know, was royalty and David was a shepherd boy, and yet they had this spiritual bond of friendship, and Jonathan gave, you know, his robe and his bow and everything to David, made him an equal in that friendship. But then also, yeah, you're right, like David had so much to teach Jonathan, and that when we can come in humility in our friendships and know this person is there refining me to make me more like Christ, and I pray that I can be that with them. It's just a really beautiful, deeper bond than just having a friendship. When we, like we've mentioned covenant friendships here on the show, and how when we can have a friendship that's dedicated to Christ, it's just, he is the great equalizer of all people. And he is the one who bonds us, even if we are completely different. You know, there's no Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, we're all one in Christ. And I just think friendships can be some of the most beautiful images of the gospel if we would allow others to see us kind of step out and show that friendship is more than just, you know, finding your table in high school or whatnot. You know, it's much more about journeying together. I joined a workout class once a week, and the class is filled with women who are over 50 years old, and beyond. I think there's one woman in there who's probably 70s, maybe even 80. Like, it's so impressive. Mm-hmm. But it's just, you know, if I just kind of said that's not the class where I belong, I would miss out on those rich relationships of getting to be inspired by these women who I could easily assume are too different from me or not in my generation. And so I think there's so much power to that.
No, that's so good. And what you're saying about just entering into that Christ-centered friendship made me think that's one of those things that I'm so thankful for with my friendship with you, because you are a friend that I've had who's consistently asked me how you could pray for me and then actually prayed with me. And I think when you're trying to deepen a friendship, actually going there and saying, hey, what's going on with you? And asking a friend just a little bit deeper of a question when you have the opportunity is one of those ways that you can really walk together and continue the bond of friendship, but also to sharpen one another and bear one another's burdens, like the scripture says. So I love that.
Yeah, I love that about you too, just that we're going to get straight to it. Like, how are you really doing? And it's not this shallow check-in. It's like, you know, when we have these amazing seasons, we can celebrate them together. But then when we are having hard struggles, we can also be completely honest and pray for one another, like you're saying. And prayer is so powerful in friendship. And praying is important too, and asking God to guide your friendships. You know, who do you want me to be investing my time in? And, and can you bring me to a new friend in this new season? Or can you help me find ways to be a friend to this person who maybe no longer lives near me anymore? And just continually thinking of, Lord, what do you want? Inviting God into that friendship of, you guide this.
Yes.
One thing I wanted to ask you is that we've talked about how your core friends, you really do want to be Christ followers, because those are the ones who are going to be in covenant friendship with you. But outside of that, we still want to be friends with the world, like Jesus was friends of sinner, a friend of sinners. And so how would you say that you have tried to be a friend with non-believers, and what has that looked like for you? And any advice that you would have to any of us in that area?
Well, I would definitely say, again, it's one of those things where if you are only hanging out at church, you're not going to be able to be friends with non-believers. So I love, like, Emma goes to workout class. That's a great place to just meet somebody in the marketplace, as they say. And then as far as being friends and continuing to be friends, just realize, yes, you need to speak the gospel, but you also need to live the gospel. And I think it's easy for us to swing like a pendulum and to be one or the other. But the Lord has really called us to be both in people's lives. And so walking with them and just doing life together with them and waiting on the Lord to open up an opportunity to share Christ, rather than constantly trying to be the friend who's trying to convert them, and just being genuine in those friendships too. Because again, you think back to the times before you met the Lord, you were still a normal person. And so a person who doesn't know Christ is not your project, but they're an opportunity again for you to learn and to have a friendship. And you just pray that the Lord would use you however he chooses to use you, and that you would have a heart and a mind to be aware of that and to be ready when he invites you into that. But yeah, just really being genuine and walking with them with an open heart the same way that I would, but staying aware of the fact that, no, this isn't going to be a person that I want to be in covenant friendship with because they don't know the Lord. So I'm going to guard my heart, but stay authentic and present. So it's kind of a balance, but I would definitely just say staying authentic is key.
That's great. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. Delise, you have some social media platforms. Can you share it with us about those real fast?
Yes. So if you want to find me in social media world, I am on Instagram. My name is just Delise Germond, Germond with a G, and the link will be in the show notes. And then same on YouTube. Like I said, my husband and I are starting a mini farm. So if you want to watch all of the ins and outs of that, I am constantly making videos on there and uploading every week. And so you can find me on YouTube at Delise Germond again.
Yes. And she is so amazing. Her photography is incredible. Her videos are very just genuine and inspiring. She's also very great with fashion and has an eye for art. So I love that about you. So check out her information. And we are just so thankful you are here. I'm going to close us out in prayer. And we are just so thankful. Delise, I'm grateful that you are my friend and you are a covenant friend of mine. And I just pray that anyone listening can have that too. Lord Jesus, we just praise you. We thank you for the wisdom and just the words of Delise today in guiding us of just personal experience. Lord, we are all lifetime learners, but we praise you for the opportunities to grow in our friendships with those who are believers, those who are not, and Lord, ultimately with friendship with you. We pray that this week we would go out, we would look and examine our own hearts through your eyes to see how we can grow personally as a friend and who we can reach out to this week. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Her Many Hats is a production of Life Audio and the Salem Web Network. To hear more from Emma, visit her site, emmadanzy.wordpress.com. If you enjoyed this episode, would you take a minute and leave us a rating and review in your podcast app? It really does help us connect to more listeners like you. This podcast is produced by Kelly Givens and Stephen Sanders, with executive oversight by Stephen McGarvey. For more inspirational, faith-affirming podcasts, visit lifeaudio.com.
Everyone wants to change the world. Capital Ministries is doing just that, one heart at a time, by creating disciples of Jesus Christ among political leaders in the U.S. and foreign nations. For more than 25 years, founder Ralph Drollinger has written Bible studies specifically for public servants. Study along with us and learn what the Bible says about capitalism, communism, abortion, same-sex marriage, and other contemporary issues. Subscribe and follow us at lifeaudio.com or search Capital Ministries on your favorite podcast platform.